From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. This is Locked On Chiefs, part of the Locked On Network, and we have a great show for you today. There are things happening on an actual football field somewhere, and people got to see it today. It's always a nice development. We'll talk about Chris Jones in particular, what this change is, how important is it, and what does it do, as well as how the offensive line is coming together as well. So a lot of upfront talk. But before we get to that, we have to get into what's going on out there at the practice fields today.
People were actually there. What?
Yeah. I mean, hey, how's I didn't work? See that coming, right?
No, I had no idea.
There was a lot. And clearly they had to get through protocols. And there are new protocols out there. We'll talk about that here in a second. But yeah, I guess 300 or so season ticket holders got something different underneath the tent, got to watch practice, and they had like their own closed circuit broadcast with Mitch Holthus, and Clark Hunt was on there. Mark Donovan was on there, like a nice little lineup. That's kind of something special for the season ticket holders.
There you go. Yeah. And honestly, it's not surprising that they get to do those kinds of things. I'm sure that they're spending their season ticket holder points to be able to do that kind of stuff, but you know, nice to see regardless and to actually kind of have fans, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the way that it comes down. A little bit of a taste for the fans and a little bit for the guys that are on the field. A lot of changes going on. They have to get a couple of things straight. The players have, obviously, what they went through with COVID is one thing. What everybody else has gone through is more of a management role when you come down to like all the trainers and coaches, et cetera. But now it seems things are changing for the NFL as well. The NFL and NFLPA came to an agreement about some of the protocols, and it is very, very much pushing individuals, non-players, I guess that I should say, within organizations to become vaccinated because of how they're keeping everything else compartmentalized.
Right. And yeah, I mean, if you're not going to be vaccinated and you work in the NFL, then you're not going to be around the team at all. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if it gets to a point where some people are let go if they don't want to get vaccinated, because I really do think it's going to come to that. It looks like the NFL is headed that direction with all their other protocols that they have.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to choice. I mean, you can't be forced to put something in your body by your employer. That's the bottom line. So if there are individuals who decide, I just don't want to get vaccinated, that is their choice. Like you said, it might come down as pressure later, but for those people, the NFL has set out standards. They're going to try to maintain their safety as well. They will still continue to get tested every day. They will still have masks at the facility. Those that are vaccinated will not be required to wear masks. So the efficacy there is a little bit questionable. Yeah, I mean, as in anything else, if you do have a high risk exposure, you know, you will be quarantining, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. The really interesting thing for me as a ex-strength and conditioning coach is, strength and conditioning coaches have to be vaccinated, period, in order to be in the room with the athletes, because they are almost ubiquitously across the league an enclosed space with recirculated air in that space. Strength coaches have to get vaccinated. They're not going to be able to work. So that may, like you said, come down to like maybe those are the first cases where we hear about someone who isn't willing to be vaccinated that has some problem fulfilling his job duties at that point.
Yeah, I don't know what you do at that point, because I would think that would be a lawsuit waiting to happen, but I'm not really going to speculate on that. I do think it's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out the entire season, because obviously there's also questions about how long the vaccine is good for. So how are they going to track that? I mean, are you going to keep a master spreadsheet somewhere? And
yeah, that's my guess.
You know, I don't know how you're going to do that. Well, how do you know the efficacy, and how do you know how long the vaccine's good?
Well, that part really, you'll have to just follow guidelines in the research, right? But in terms of like tracking it, I'm sure the head trainers will have a list of staff as well, and their vaccination date, you know, just to try to keep up with it, because that is one of the unknowns. That is the question mark. And I know there are ongoing studies about how you determine how long it is effective. So this is by far not anywhere close to done. This is just what the rules are now. Because when they find out how long the vaccine works, especially if there's differences between the single shot and the double shots, et cetera, like all this could change at a moment's notice as well, if the research indicates it. So we will keep you apprised. We're kind of looking forward to not having to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, I want to talk about football, because there's plenty of football to talk about that we need to talk about when we get back from the break.
Yeah, we definitely will. And you know what? We'll do that next. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily Instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 30,000 ATMs. Credit Karma already has given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms may apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Yeah.
You have that down, sir.
Oh, I can't tell you how many takes that took. Credit, go check out our sponsor, Credit Karma. It was a challenge to record that, so I will just say that going forward. But, you know, challenges are what they're for, right? And there's one big challenge. Somebody's making, I mean, not a positional change, but usage is going to be interesting. What stood out to you from what we heard today?
Chris Jones is basically going to be a DN this year. And that is, to me, it's a positional change. I understand why you're saying it's not, because you're still defensive line. But at the same time, there's a huge key difference between a defensive tackle and a defensive end. Defensive ends generally aren't going to get double teamed as easily because you're going to be coming from the outside. So unless you're trying to do an inside move, that's going to be hard to do unless they have a tight end on your side. And I really am looking forward to seeing Clark and Jones being the Bash Brothers of sorts.
Yeah, I look forward to that as well. I'm intrigued by it because Chris mentioned that same thing in his presser about how, you know, they can chip them, but it's harder to double them, right?
Yep.
They'll put a tight end out there. I don't know if that's an effective double, so I understand where he's coming from. But I will say this, too. Some of the biggest bash pays that Chris Jones makes is beating the offensive lineman quickly and pretty much a straight acceleration to the quarterback. Chris Jones isn't an edge bender. Like, going out to defensive end is not going to make him look like Von Miller. So there are still some questions about, is it, how effective can he be at more than a bull rush? You know what I mean? Because usually he has a tighter space where a little rip, a little arm over, and he's through. Like, that's not going to be the case. It gets longer arm tackles out there in space.
Well, yeah, and you're also talking specifically, you're talking more of a finesse person being out there at the offensive tackle position. So good luck beating him with your speed, because that's generally not going to be the case. That's the reason that they're playing offensive tackle, is they have that foot speed. So it's going to be interesting to see what Kansas City does. I do think he's going to be able to do it. I do think he could be a double-digit sack guy on at defensive end. What I'm really curious about is how this is going to play going forward, because if they're finding their defensive end in Chris Jones, maybe they bring back a guy like Jerron Reed for another season next year. I was wondering what they were going to do with Derek Nnadi. Not that I don't like Derek Nnadi. I think he's criminally underrated in a lot of ways. But he's not going to be a guy that gets after the passer, and he's going to be a free agent soon. So what are you going to do on the defensive tackle position? And that's a big question when you have Chris Jones there.
Yeah.
But you don't have him there right now. So, I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of talk about the end. I don't think he's going away. He's still going to play a significant portion of D-tackle snaps, in my opinion. They can talk all they want about him being an end. He's not going to play 90% at end. I just can't see that happening, because I don't think it can be functionally efficient enough.
Do you know what happens when you make statements like that, right?
That's true, and I'll be happily surprised if I'm wrong. I've grown comfortable with that over the years, that if I am incorrect, then hey, it's a better thing for the team, right?
I'll stick my neck out there and say that he's not going to do this, and then it'll happen.
Chris Jones will not play 66% of the snaps or more. That is the line I will take the under.
You mean a defensive end, to be fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
I don't know. I think we're going to have to wait till training camp. I think that he is talking like he's going to play defensive end. They're talking like he is going to play defensive end. And yes, it could all be talk, but I do think that he gives them something that they don't have at that position right now. And honestly, they don't even really have it with Frank Clark, because Clark is more of a speed guy than he is really power, although he does have power. So you know, how that's going to wind up, how they're going to use that, and how they're going to get through their defensive line rotation with Chris Jones playing mostly defensive end. The bigger question I have when it comes to Jones playing defensive end is, you better be doing that mostly on passing downs, because if he's not setting the edge very well, you're going to get run on like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I see it as the opposite. I feel like he can set the edge well. I think like the option thing, the RPO, and like the designated, you know, seven-step drop where he's got to go around a tackle who's setting vertically, I think that's more the challenge. So I kind of see it as early downs at end, and then pass rushing downs, bring him inside next to Reed and let Taco maybe take that end spot.
Maybe, and maybe that's what they do. I'm looking at it and saying he has struggled at times against the run, and that's going to be very problematic if you're struggling at the run at defensive end. That is one thing that you can say what you want about Frank Clark. You can be frustrated with the sack numbers, but he has always been a stud when it comes to the running game, and teams do not run at him. So they're going to run the other direction, and that is going to be directly at Chris Jones when he's in the game.
Yeah, that's very likely. You know, and that the protection that the tackles, that tandem, and I love that tandem of Naughty and Reed inside, and then you got to think that Wharton comes in as in the pass rushing downs, right? I think that protects the backers. But then if they're having to scrape and they're having to fill over the top of Chris in those situations, that does put a little bit more stress on the defense. And I did like that Chris Jones talked about what it does for the defense as a whole, him being out there rather than having him and Frank next to each other.
Yeah, no, and I think it could be a lot of fun to watch. I'm hoping that I get to see those guys like crush guys like Derek Carr, you know, during the season. That'd be great.
Yeah, because Derek Carr can't play for the Raiders. He's not going to play anymore, evidently. Good for him. That's all right.
Oh, did I miss something? Because I didn't see that.
I guess he said that he had that quote today. I don't specifically search out
interesting quotes,
but that is what I understood.
So when the Raiders trade for Deshaun Watson, Derek Carr is going to retire?
Sounds good to me. I don't know. Maybe it sounds good to Derek, too. He could be frustrated. But one thing that isn't frustrating
is
the fact that Patrick, unlike Derek Carr, has a brand new line that I think is actually going to protect him better than last season, unlike the Raiders. But we're going to get into who's where and why coming up next. The chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on whims like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend twice the money for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. And we recognize it's been hard to keep up with the brackets and all the new flavors, but let's remember, when it all comes said and done, there are a couple things that really stand out, like cookies and cream with 17 grams of protein at 130 calories, or almond coconut, which is one of my favorites still. And you can get a serious discount over at BuiltBar.com by using the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 50% off your next order. That's the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So it's not the only changes going on that
really
we talked about before with Frank, you know, like all of a sudden this this French speaking Canadian who's a little out of practice with his English, evidently.
What's that?
Right. Shows back up and he's getting more reps. They're working him in, evidently, on the second day of minicamp. Looks like he got more reps than the first day. So they are peppering him in. At this point, I haven't heard yay or nay whether it looks like he's going to be back in shape by camp or not. But I think this is seriously like, you know, like epic rust knockoff time for Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Yeah, I would say so. And honestly, I'm sure he's got a lot of rust to knock off. And, you know, we talk about it every year. The guys that aren't there, they show up and they're a little bit more out of shape than the other guys. And it's because there isn't a such thing as practicing and being able to get in football shape without actually playing football. There is something to that. And honestly, I do think that, you know, it will take him some time, but I think he'll be fine. I think he will probably have most of the rust shaken off by the time camp comes around, because I can't imagine he's going to be able to go back to Canada at this point. So I would think he's going to be staying in Kansas City and training. And if that's the case, then, you know, he can knock some of the rust off that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking very forward to the rumors about the conditioning test tomorrow. I want to know what goes on and who flounders and who doesn't. Nothing against him. I'm sure he'll have a tougher time than maybe he has in years past with that particular test. But the fact that he walked into a room where he only knows a couple of guys and he said it is very different, but that they've welcomed him back. And I think that's good. Having both he and Kyle Long back for camp, I think, is going to be a really interesting battle. It's shaping up to be really everything that we thought it was when we heard about the Long signing. So at this point, I'm pretty optimistic about what they can do. And I really just want to see how they're blocking, because one guy who's very adamant about having things to work on and taking a step forward in his second season is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I'm glad to hear it from him. He missed most of OTAs, but he's back out there now. I'm trying to hold back my enthusiasm for his season. How do you feel about where he's at?
Well, you know, you start really quick. I just want to mention, you know, you start looking at the Long situation. I still wonder if he's going to be back for training camp unless they said something today that I missed. So if he's back for camp, that's great. That would be a great competition to be able to see. Now, when it comes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm looking forward to watching him play this year. I do think that he hit a rookie wall last year, really kind of a little bit before the injury. I think he still looked like he was running very well, but I don't think he looked like he was as spry as he was early in the season, which the season is going to wear on you, especially when you're playing in the NFL and you're going up against guys that LSU played maybe once a year, and like guys like Alabama. In teams like Alabama and the teams like those, you're going to be playing against those types of guys every single week. It's a different bang on your body. It's a different, you know, hurt that you end up having. So I do think that, you know, he's got a much better idea as to what he's going to be expecting going into year two. I'm excited to see it. The real question is can he improve on the small things that he needed to fix last year? Namely, you know, we didn't see him pass protect much. Has he been able to work on that? Is that something that he's gotten better at? Is that something he's going to be able to be asked to do this year? Because that'll change his role too.
Mm-hmm. It definitely will. And when talking about some of that, he said two things that stood out to me. Three. One, he called Andy Reid, a guy coming from a national championship college team that had a pretty prolific offense, came in and said that Andy Reid's playbook was outrageous. Okay. That makes sense. But he also said that the pass catching skills with Greg Lewis in the room is definitely something that he can improve upon, and that composure was something that he's wanting to work on as well. Being able to make those adjustments, especially audibles where he does have to stay and protect. I think knowing that, that's probably leading towards the path towards that he can be out there on more downs and be successful.
Right. And honestly, I hadn't even thought about it from the perspective of Greg Lewis as a wide receiver now coaching the running backs. But that could really help the entire running back group when you're starting to talk about different things with catching the ball. I know that seems like it's an innate trait and you either have hands or you don't, but they still have little small things that they are going to be able to work on. And maybe Lewis is going to do something that other running backs coaches haven't, because he was coming from wide receivers and that's what he knows. So maybe there's going to be more that is going to work on hands there, and that could really pay off for the Chiefs as well.
Yeah, and it certainly can. I hope that it does in a way that isn't just underneath everything where we're waiting for the pass block reps or something like that.
Right.
Pass catching in particular, I think they need to force feed him early, and I think that they will. Let us know what you think about the situation with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and does he take a step forward in the pass game, in the run game? How do you feel about him? Leave us a note over at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter or in the iTunes reviews. We'd appreciate that. We love all the positive ones that we've been getting. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time listening today. We'll be back with you tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.